For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. Brad and I are chuckling because we just talked for like 5 minutes off air before we started recording, and I kid you guys not, we hit the record button and my dogs went nuts. So I comedically on the go.
Yeah. It was like 3, 2, 1, cue dogs.
Boom. What a time. Hey, ABB, how you doing today?
I'm great. I am soaked still. I did our field work session live on In the Bag Instagram. Make sure you follow us if you're not. Like a lot of people in there this morning, Robbie, supporting me out in the rain. So it made it thrown in the rain a lot easier today. So bingo card, there's your space for thrown in the rain. We're back at it in the bag style. But hey, doing great. It's been a good week. We're actually, again, I'm in the warehouse again. This may be my permanent spot. I kind of enjoy doing In the Bag over here, honestly. But we're rearranging the entire warehouse. So, Rob, you're not even going to notice it when you come back up. It's
you're telling me different. Next time I come up that it's not only is it going to be a different warehouse feel, but we're going to be in a new store. We're going to be in new studios. Y'all, I don't know that I'm ready.
I think the kids say glow up. Is that what the kids say these days? That's what we're doing over here. We had to switch up the warehouse too. We can't just let the studio and the retail store have all the fun. So, been a fun week. Looking forward to this week's episode. I love the like slightly overstable fairway slot. It's like my favorite. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. And we're having a repeat guest today. But
yeah,
I was telling Robbie off air, I didn't even recognize him because his bag looks so different from the last time we spoke. It was very early on. So excited for this episode to dig in. With Justin.
Yeah. I mean, I will say like this slot, I think is as much as people try to talk about the overstable nine speed or the overstable putting approach, right? Mm-hmm. As being like a really cloudy area. To me, the thing about that spot is that once you find your pick, you're usually good. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a zone guy. Check. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a pig guy. Check. I'm a A2 guy. Check. You all find your disc that fills that spot. This spot in particular, I feel like can cause, there's so much out there.
Mm-hmm.
And overstable putting approaches pretty much all fly the exact same for everyone.
Right.
This slot, depending on how fast you throw, can mean something entirely different.
Right.
So, yeah, very, very excited for this and excited to have Justin. Why don't we go ahead and bring him in?
What's up, In the Bag fans? Hey, quick announcement before we get into the episode. Our guest audio was a little sketchy at times, but it was a good interview. Didn't want to redo it. So just headphone users beware at times, but it should still be a good episode. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for being patient. Let's get into the episode.
Welcoming into the show, we have, he's a guest, he's a friend, and Justin, we're excited to have you here. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, glad to be back.
Yep, glad to have you back. I was just telling Robbie and the listeners that I didn't even like connect that it was you that was coming. Again, I don't know these things until right before. And I was looking at your bag. I'm like, I did not recognize your bag from the last time. I think the first time you were on, right, you had like just 12 discs, right? You had a more simplistic bag. Am I thinking of another Justin? I think I'm thinking of another Justin.
No, I had a fair amount of discs, but I had a ton of different molds.
Yeah, it's very different regardless of what I remember you having last time.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely gone through some changes. So, we're about to make a big change.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah. So, okay. For those of you who, I promise that our guest next week, we're not going to talk fairways. Because we are on week 3 of fairways. But I feel like this season just comes, right? Because I remember a season it may have been around like the 60s or 70s, where I feel like every person that came on, Brad, we were like, you need an overstable mid.
Yep.
You need an overstable mid.
Yep.
And you need an overstable mid. And so at least this one, the fairway needs have all been somewhat different. Mm-hmm. But for those of you who are regular listeners, you'll know that last week with Gus, we talked about what if we, like, the top of your bag is cloudy. And so it's cloudy, but for no reason, because they're all doing something similar for you. So what if we just cleared that out and put in a couple of different options? Like, you go and flush out your 7 speeds and your 8 speeds, and we're going to give you like a Swiss Army knife distance driver. And we ended up with the Thrasher is what we ended up, or no, it was the Wave.
Mm-hmm, the Wave.
Yeah. So, that we put him there. So Justin, I have the pleasure of getting to play with you. So for some people, they're going to be like, oh, that sounds like a pleasure. And then anyone that really plays with me heavily knows I'm going to be a video. Like, if I play one round with him, I may not be a video. If I play two, I'm probably going to end up doing something. So Justin, instead of making a video on Robbie C disc golf, we had the conversation. We played last week, and or felt like, yeah, it was last week. And so
yeah,
we were talking, and Justin, let's tell them about the discovery of the Wave versus the Rhythm.
Yeah. So, I've unlocked some distance, like kind of progressively, and I'm at the point now where I can, reliably, I'd say, throw about 330, on a golf line. And, I'd done some field work the other day, and I just said to Robbie, I was like, hey, I've noticed this weird thing where I'm feeling my rhythm as far as my Wave. And he just kind of looked at me. He's like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't change anything. I don't yam on it any harder. I don't know what it is. And so we got through our round, and, you know, I'm nice and loosened up and actually tired by that point. And he was like, I threw my Wave, and I put it like, it was a 330 foot hole. I put it 5 feet in front of the basket. And he goes, throw your rhythm. And I was like, okay, cool. And I put it 5 feet to the left of that and 2 feet back. Just the same throw.
Yeah.
And so it kind of got me thinking, why am I bagging all of these distance drivers that just kind of get squirrely on me? And I can back off everything down to a 7 speed. And it's consistent is the crazy thing. So I figured, you know, hang on to my distance drivers for my field work bag and see if I can try to unlock something that way. But, you know, for actual playing golf, I can help me make some better decisions by taking out some of the chaff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we are, I think that is definitely going to be the majority of the chat, is sort of talking through that Crave to time lapse area. But ABB, if it works for you, I think we run through the bottom of the bag real fast, just in terms of if you are a gyro fan, you're going to look at this bag and you're going to go, oh, this feels like a pretty perfect representation of what like gyro believes their mid range and down setup is.
Right.
Especially the mids. Yep. I mean, your mids are stair step one over the other all the way to the top.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty well sorted.
I think you've got a pretty good read on like when to go between each of them, kind of a deal. So that definitely, I feel like you've nailed that down. So I, once again, I don't want to mess with what you've got cooking mids and below. So you're putting with the pilots. We know that. And then you've got 3 envies in the bag. So I'm going to let you and Brad, I'm going to sit back envious and let you guys go crazy on the envies. Brad, do you have any questions regarding the envies?
No, I think it's a very similar kind of headspace I have with my envies. You're going to have your like envy that's straight, but still has that envy like fade on it, right? Which is going to be your new soft neutron, right, Justin? Like that's just like your typical envy, right?
So the soft neutron is actually, it's a first run And I know, you know, for the longest time, MVP, everybody thought MVP didn't have any variances between runs, but they copped to it eventually. And that one seems to be like out of the box, more over staple. Like Robbie seen me throw that one before, and he was just like, yeah, if you're going to yam on one, especially in the woods, use that one. So that's kind of, I tend to use that more in the woods. Mm-hmm. It's actually more reliable. The purple, like Prism Plasma is the one you were talking about. It's that typical MV flight. It flies like a fresh electron at this point.
Okay.
It started out as almost a meat hook. But I've been throwing that one for probably 2 years now, and that would be the closest thing to my precious child.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I think for me, coming back to your Neutron one really quick, I think that's what I was like, maybe trying to say and set it the wrong way, but like, I like a very like overstable envy that I know I can hit really hard and will push straight, but have that like that nice overstability at the end, at least for me.
Yeah.
Do you find
like if I need to put it on a little bit of a flex, I know it's coming.
Yeah, exactly. So that makes sense. And then your Prism Plasma. When you first got that, when you said it was more of a meat hook, I find that any of like the Prism envies I've thrown have tend to be like a little less overstable off the shelf. Have you felt that with any other ones you've thrown that's not like a first run SE?
You sent me one a while back in one of the Foundation Celebration boxes, and it flew almost identical to my beaten in one.
Okay, yeah, so that's right. Yeah,
I will say, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense because Isaac, who's a new employee here, he was asking about Prism envies, and I was like, yeah, the ones I've thrown all tend to be like a little like, I'm not gonna say flippy, but they're definitely less overstable than like a fresh like Neutron envy or like a Proton envy. And then I think
this one will definitely like stand up a little bit, but it doesn't have a lot of turn.
No.
It's just my dead straight like tunnel shot envy.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then
right now
I think the precious child I'm always looking for is the Electron. I like Electron Firm personally, but that like Electron envy that's just like just beat up, that will either just go really straight or have like even a little turn to it, so I don't have to bag a proxy. That's really what I'm looking for.
That's the Electron Soft I've got. Robbie used to sing the praises of Electron Softs and how they, once they beat in, they are unique to almost every other envy out there, and I'm looking for an actual turnover envy. I would like for that to eventually replace my Paradox, if that makes any sense, because I throw my Paradox almost like a throwing putter.
Right.
Like I don't ever put any kind of heat on that. Like 180 foot, you know, just kind of lazy turnovers. Any more than that, and it gets unreliable. I would rather have like an envy that does that. And so any chance that I can play a single disc round, I'm throwing that Electron Soft envy just to try to beat it in faster.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
It's an interesting theory that I like. I'm finding more and more, I don't know if I talked about it with you, Justin, or I talked about it with someone else, but it was this idea of like Precious Child for me with a pig is it's flippy. Like you cannot watch me throw that disc and be like, oh no, it's overstable. Like it doesn't burn out of any Anheuser that I put it on. Like a course that Justin and I both get to play regularly in Inverness, there's a turnover shot up a hill. So most people will either go too overstable trying to flex something, or they'll go too like they don't find the middle ground. And so they fade out left on this hill, or they burn over and they go all the way down this chasm and it doesn't work. And I know that Precious Child I can throw on some Anheuser and it'll go all the way up there. But I also know that I could throw Precious Child basically outside of destroying the integrity of the mold, aka as someone who has on video now twice put multiple holes in a Frisbee before. I just don't think that Precious Child is going to get any more understable than it already is. Without, like I said, the rim breaking, without the rim folding, a hole being made in flight plate, which would all make it illegal to throw. So therefore, I would not use it. So I wonder, for a base plastic envy, as maybe this is where the internet can really come in and help us, like as a comment section, because I'm sitting with two people who season envies regularly. How flippy have y'all seen an envy get? Because when you say you wanted to replace your paradox, in my mind, I wonder if it can ever get past an uplink.
It can.
Yeah.
The only reason I say that, Robbie, someone had an envy that they turned into the use section. And like, I looked at it and it like almost, it's not puddle top, but it like, you can see the shoulder and it's kind of like just warped down in a little bit. And I was throwing it in my field the other day on a little bit of baby hyzer. It would flip up and turn.
I call those clover tops.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Go look at Bo McLaughlin's white electron envy that he throws.
That's fair. I forgot about that guy. But see, that one as well, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, like Bo's a local, he's a Huntsville pro to us, team MVP, Brad. And Bo, it's his precious child as well. And I mean, that thing, like, I'm trying to like demonstrate it for our visual watchers with my hands. That's what, like, the flight plate looks like this.
Yep.
Like it's just so odd.
Broken.
Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. And the rim hasn't broken. The flight plate hasn't broken. So it's still legal, but I guess you do have to get it to there, which is possible.
And look, none of us are Conrad, but I have seen him throw some flippy envies.
Okay.
And so, I never, profess to be able to huck a putter as nearly half as far as him, but I figure if he can get one there, then mortals can get one close.
Yeah. Well, I'm here for it. And I look forward to seeing it. And I like that everything has slotted in where it has. I can definitely agree. I would also be curious for like later research, finding what prism, like what makes it prism. Cause I know even we had a discussion in the Birdie Fam of Prism Proton, which is not Prism Plasma, but Prism Proton is what the new Eagles, the like Phoenix Rebirth, I think is what it was. Those were being straighter than people anticipated them to be, kind of a deal. So
that is the ultimate envy. That disc is just so good.
It's looking for a spot in my bag, and I can't quit my Prism Plasma or my Prism Plasma. So the Prism envies, any of the Prism, as I understand it, and Gyro Nerds, correct me if I'm wrong, actually don't have the weighted material in the rim. And so it actually lacks the gyro-ness of some of the other ones. So
throwing it faster, like standard speeds, it just flies like a normal putter as opposed to the gyro effect taking over even when thrown slower, which will cause it to hook more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you can actually see into them. Like, I got a clear Eagle Envy right here. Like this one. Yeah, this one's really clear. Like, you can see there is nothing.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Nothing in there.
Good to know. Hey, we learn something new every day. Let's get off the envies. We can talk envies for 4 hours.
Yeah. Welcome to In the Bag. If it's an envy, it's in. And I'll go ahead and say, because, Brad did say, anything I can do to keep a proxy out of my bag, I will defend the proxy throwers here. The tournament that I'm going to play in a week and a half, I won MA1 because I had put a proxy in my, I had discovered the proxy like 3 weeks before, and it flew so well for me that I just got to that course and I threw that proxy every chance I got. And people were so mad because they were like, what is that disc you keep throwing? I'm like, dude, it's a proxy. I don't know how people aren't just like talking. This was pre holy shot. We were cooking.
My thing with proxies is that, like, I can make an envy into a proxy eventually.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
I bagged them for a little bit, and so that. But now that MVP takes forever to season, but now that I've got one, I feel like the my purple one, kind of like that Prism Plasma, is similar to like I said, like a fresh electron envy, but also like the fresh premium
proxy.
Proxies.
Yeah.
are very similar. Yeah. So it's like, all right, I'll just be one or the other.
Yeah. It's same for me. I like the proxy feels fine. It feels great. It's just, I want to only bag envies. I don't want envies and proxies.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys. It's the same reason that I hate the Burke. And I hate on the Burke is when at the end of the day, a proxy, it does this and it does it really well. But when you want a proxy to have more hook, it can't because it's the mold and the NV can fill both slots well. When a Berg, people want those upshots with a Berg. I can get other discs to do that as well. But then when I want that other disc to do something, it can and the Berg cannot. But that's fine. I'm not going to get, that's going to get me comments anyways. So
there's a lot of triggering happening right now. A lot of triggering. Here we go.
Let's get back into the non-triggering gyro mid ranges, guys. Everybody loves them. A tried and true disc for us. We love, like, we're just walking through it. I think it all makes sense. The one that I have the most question on is your hex that's in the bag. You said it's 158 grams.
It is.
How does it fly in comparison to, because that glow reactor, I see, like the Eclipse reactor, and yours is seasoned, but like, how does that hex slot in?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It looks well sorted, but I'm the most torn about some of my mids. I feel like I have too many of them, and I feel like there's some, you know, some in betweens that I try to hit. Like right now, that hex fly is just slightly more stable than like a brand new Detour. And I'm at the point now where I want control on my mids. And so the lightweight mid is kind of on the bubble because I would rather have the heft. I don't care about the distance with the mid. I want the flight. And so I'm honestly thinking about taking out that hex and maybe the uplink. I don't know. That uplink has gotten pretty seasoned. But trying a heavy detour. Like a max weight detour, because I've got I won a gyro box, a Gyropalooza box, and I finally got one, so it might be worth having just to have, you know, that reliability of the weight there, if that makes any sense.
No. Do you have a do you have a hand field like preference between the hex and the reactor, or both feel equally good?
I like the hand feel of the hex. I like the reliability of the reactor. I like the glide of the hex. And so, yeah, I think I smell what you're stepping in where I could just season three reactors instead of having a hex there at all. Is that kind of what you're moving towards?
I was going even more towards if you're going to pull that hex, I think try the detour, try it for sure. But I think like if that glow reactor is seasoned in enough to really fly like a negative 0.51, then to me, as someone who has a Eclipse reactor in my bag, that Elaine King has been in there for a long time and it's still, I would not describe it as one fade. I would definitely describe it as two. And so I think if you're just replacing, you could pull the hex out and put in a brand new hex to replace that Eclipse reactor. And then, cause like, I think a neutron hex would fill that spot immediately.
Proton, like the OTB open proton hexes of last year had a little bit more fade to them, but it wasn't quite as much as, like if there's any kind of headwind, I was still coming back to my reactor. So, maybe I just leave the hex in for a little bit, beat on that reactor a little bit more till it gets, you know, good and straight. And then,
Justin, I'm gonna hold you up there. Cause your phone is getting real laggy on us here for a second. So, yeah. I'm gonna let it settle for a second. Let you, let everything catch up.
Yeah. It says reconnecting.
Yeah. So, the big thing for me, looking at that is the pyro is one of those discs that when I talk about the pyro with non MVP people, what MVP people try to tell me the pyro does is just quite simply not, I believe, what the pyro does. Like everyone's like, they watch Simon throw the pyro and that's how they think the pyro flies for them. And when I think back to my days of throwing a pyro, the pyro was like, it was my justice.
Mm-hmm. That's my experience with the pyro as well. I've thrown like prism plasma pyros even, and they're just very beefy for me. Like I was trying to decide between that and the Quake, to be honest with you, at one point.
Yeah. And see, even the Quake I would put is like even a touch less stable than a pyro, because like in my mind, the Quake is what I hold my Eclipse reactor for, like that. Yeah. It's going to go straight and then it's going to fall out.
Should be, I should preface glow Quake.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I could not say I've thrown one of those.
I would say I throw predominantly that pyro. That pyro gets brought out for forehands more than anything. Not that like, I don't think any disc could be a forehand disc, but I think, you know, and that is probably a lot of people. And so they're probably chopping them on Anheuser more than they think, or they know it's so overstable that they're even throwing it on backhand on Anheuser. I throw flex lines for the most part with that. And I honestly don't, I've found myself leaning on the deflector more than the pyro because I know it will find the ground. So yeah, those two kind of fight a little bit. I feel like the reactor slot is kind of up in the air. It's like, I don't know. Like, honestly, I feel like I could almost go with like a matrix instead of the pyro and the reactor. And then also like a detour instead of the hex and the uplink, and then slim my bag down that much. So yeah, you're definitely not star for choice with MVP mids. And I'm not married to MVP either. Like, honestly, I started throwing MVP because I like the way they feel. And I realized I had a plastic addiction. And so I needed to, like, if I pulled myself down to one company, maybe I'd quit buying everything. And I'm at the point now where I see new stuff come out. And I'm
it
like,
worked.
It did. And I see stuff come out now and I'm like, I like what I have. So, you know, I feel like I can open up a little bit more and explore.
Yeah. So. And I think that the uplink, if there's anything on to me that would be on the fringe, it would be that paradox.
Yeah.
And just seasoning the uplink a little more, almost shifting it down, like everything shifts down. Detour possibly slots in, and if the detour doesn't work, try it for a little bit, right? And if it doesn't work, then you're just putting in a hex, like a new hex over there, and then messing around and see if you're going to the pyro less than the deflector anyways, or if you're going to the deflector more than the pyro anyways, see what a brand new Eclipse reactor does in there, and like just ride that for a little bit. I think people get very hesitant to just make a change. I feel somewhat consistent in this bag, so why would I make a change? And as someone who, unfortunately, you guys are seeing stuff 2 weeks after it happens on my channel because I filmed it all. Mm-hmm. So I did my in the bag. I talked about my issue with my fairways, and then I filmed my in the bag and it dropped 2 weeks later. And then I shot a video right after, I think it might have been the same day my like in the bag actually dropped, of me comparing Servo's Craves to Stalkers and Passions. And that spawned an idea. So I'm a week into, I've pushed all the Stalkers out of my bag. Like, they're all gone. And now I'm just throwing one specific mold. I'm not going to spoil it for people, but I'm throwing this one specific mold and I love it. Like, it's been phenomenal.
Well,
but y'all aren't seeing it for weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. The mids freak me out a little bit because they're such a huge part of my game. You know, we play like, you know, my home course is Inverness. It is woods golf. I throw mids or putters off of 80% of my throws. And so I know my mids now. And so, I mean, I'm about to chop like 8 discs off the bag. Maybe just leave it like it is. You know, what's, if it works,
that's true.
Keep it in the bag.
Yeah. So, so speaking of which, let's jump into it. So top end of your bag, you've got two rhythms and a crave. Those we feel pretty confident are sticking around, right? Okay. So, let's talk about what those three do for us, because from there we will be able to chop everything. Like, these are going to be our frame of reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, cool.
So talk to us about them.
So let's see, I've got my Flippy Rhythm. It's a what is it, mid 160s or a low 160s fission. It's gotten pretty beat in, and yeah, I don't know what else. It stands up. Yeah, I can make a turnover. I throw on a ton of hyzer. Like, my tech disc tells me when I first started throwing on it was like 30 degrees. It's ridiculous. And so it flips up. I can, like, yeah, my flat is 10 degrees at least. And so I can turn that over with ease. It goes, you know, 330. And yeah, just full S flights out of it. I love it. It's kind of my workhorse now. I've got a flat top, full weight Rhythm. It's Neutron. It's first run. Those were known to be like, it's kind of a theme with MVP. Their first runs are a lot more overstable, it seems like. So it's, it actually kicked out another Crave, because I can reliably let this one fade. And I like the hand feel of an actual 7-speed better than a 6.5. Like, 6.5 almost feel like mids to me sometimes. And I just get that, I get that confidence of a driver feel, or more of a driver feel, out of an actual 7. So yeah, that's what that one is. And then the Crave that's currently in there is, it's a new one. It's a Bo McGlock. It's another one of Bo's discs. It's, his fundraiser stamp. And it is a little more, it's one of the beefier Craves. So I can rely on it, but I wouldn't want to put it into a headwind. It doesn't really flip up. Uh-huh. It holds the line. It goes where it's told. Whereas that fission, or sorry, the Neutron Rhythm just goes straight. You know, a little bit of S flight comes back straight. Crave will end up left, but I still don't trust it. And so that's okay. Those are the 7-speeds I've got, because there's, or 6.5, 7-speeds is because there's kind of a dearth of them in that, like, there's a giant hole in MVP's stable mid or fairway slots. So,
yeah. So Brad, does that give you like good reference for where we were?
Makes a lot of sense.
So looking at the top side of the bag, like we opened up with when Justin came in, that we last week, the way that we tackled a bag that was somewhat similar is we said, let's get rid of the top end and let's give you one workhorse driver. And we ended up giving that driver. I think that you have that workhorse already in the bag. And I don't think that it's the Grace or the Wave. It's definitely not the time lapse. We know that's for sure. But
huge, huge, huge arm. You know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, this man's crushing a time lapse. That 30 degrees of hyzer, he throws so hard, his 30 degrees of hyzer time lapse stands up. And that's why we're making get rid of all his distance drivers.
That's right.
It is. So that end of the bag, like he talks about in the opening, the fission wave flies almost exactly like it to me. You can tell me if this is wrong. I, watching your fission wave fly, depending on how well you hit it, it always lands somewhere between your two rhythms.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
Like, if you don't hit your rhythm, like if you don't hit the Neutron Rhythm and you don't hit the Wave, they're still going to end up in similar spots. As to if you do hit your rhythm, and if you hit your fission rhythm and you hit your fission wave well, they're going to end up in similar spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And I hit my rhythm well more consistently, I'd say. Like, it's less, you know, the wave is almost too flippy at this point. It's very, very beaten in.
Yeah.
So.
The grace would obviously fit more of a, I'm thinking of, we had the 7-speeds you have in your bag right now, right? Like, more headwindy, I don't feel like any of these are going to get there. We can also obviously flesh out the other side. So the gray seems like it could slot into that well, but that being that 11 speed, larger rim variants, things like that. So the disc that jumps out to me the most, and I don't know if it is to you as well, Brad, maybe because it's the most colorful, that Tesla.
Yeah.
What's the Tesla do for you right now, Justin?
Yeah, it's my headwind. Yeah, just if I need it, if I need it to go left but actually still get distance, then yeah, I stand by the Tesla out. And that's a lack in the seven speeds. I mean, you see that hole there. And so that my hesitance to drop everything high grade. I mean, my intensities, I've got a you know, decent array of them. I think I've got three in right now. But that Tesla, definitely, if there's any wind, it's coming out. You know, barring a gale force headwind and then a fireball comes out.
Yeah.
But,
and would you say that your insanities fly? How much farther are your insanities going than your rhythms are going?
Like negligible. That's, yeah. You know, if it was like, if it was ending on that same hole that you saw me to break out with the wave and it was within, I mean, I was putting them within the bullseye of each other. And that's a fluke. I'm not that consistent.
It was dialed that day.
But yeah. Yeah. It was a good day.
So I just don't see that
there's different, like, I'm not making great decisions when what it comes down to is when I'm in a tournament setting, I'm not making great decisions because I've got the waters are muddied. So I can't with confidence pull one out of the bag, like, oh yeah, this is the move right now.
Yeah. 330 foot shot. There are three different discs at least fighting for that spot. And you're never going to walk up to that and be like, oh, I picked the right one. Because if it goes just a hair wrong, now you're questioning it every other time that pops up, for sure. So if the rhythms are shining, let the rhythm shine. Now, fireball, the tilt, we don't even talk about the tilt because I know why the tilt's in there. It's there for a couple specific holes we have in town that are just weird. But you can attack them.
One might stay in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just great. I love when we play with people and we play around and Justin throws the tilt and people are like, what disc was that? And he's like, I bag a tilt, unironically. So it's a whole thing. So I like all of this. Brad, let's talk discs that you recommended. You threw, because today might have been, I'm very curious with the conditions you played in with one of the discs. And you'll know which one very soon.
Yeah. All right, so today I threw the Vela from Millennium, Calvin Heinberg's signature Vela. Mm-hmm. And then I threw the Cookie from Clash. So Cookie 7502, the Vela is 74-1.52.
So the Vela, some are going to call it. We'll just say it both ways. If Brad, how about this? We'll tag team it. You say Vela, say Vela.
Hey, if we look at the rules of English, at least, that the vowel at the end makes the initial vowel say its name, which would be E. So it would be Vela, technically.
Hey, Brad, I'm just trying to say that I am on another podcast with a good friend, Jason, Bards of the Boar. I'm not trying to shamelessly plug it, but it's a board game podcast and you should check it out. Anyways, on there, there's a game called Agricola.
Mm-hmm.
But the modern man would look at it and say Agricola.
Right.
And anytime we mention it at this point, we have to like caveat it because we got comments for the first few episodes where we kept saying it because it's one of Jason's like all timers. Mm-hmm. And we kept being like, Agricola, Agricola. And people were like, you illiterate people, it's called Agricola.
That's funny.
Whoa, dude. What? Like, there's like 100 people watching this podcast. And I need you to back off, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick
straight
with
up in it. That sounds kind of Italian ish. So maybe it doesn't operate on English standards.
The Vela. So you call it the Vela. I'll call it the Vela, Brad.
The Calvin Eagle. The Calvin Eagle is what we're...
Okay, so these two discs, I've held both of them myself. Hand feel, you got to talk about it because the hand feel is vastly different.
Yeah, the cookie is that soft, steady, beautiful Clash plastic. It's kind of rounded. It's a very interesting feel for a 7-speed, I'll say that. Yeah, because it does have that nice rounded shoulder. It was more noticeable when my hands were freezing and it was like the rain was happening, but it definitely has like a more aggressive, like, flashing. It's not rough. It's not like I'm going to cut my hand off like old Prodigy or anything, but it definitely is. To me, it feels faster than a 7-speed, Robbie. Like, it has like a faster feel to it. It's not bigger, but it feels like a little faster, a little more aggressive.
Yeah. It's
how's the depth?
I was going to say, I think it's deeper.
Yeah, definitely deeper. Well, no. Let me think about this.
To me, my hand feel, and like I said, I know both these discs well. My hand feel is that the reason the Vela is going to feel deeper is because the Clash, that rounded shoulder,
bevel, yeah,
is going to, even if your fingers are getting the same depth in, that rounded bit makes it feel like I'm not as far in. It comes off.
Yeah.
Easier,
yeah,
because of the rounded rim.
I will say, in the rain, I did feel much more confident with the Vela than I did the Cookie because of that reason. And now that you're saying it, because like visually they look about the same, but like, yeah, hand feel wise, I definitely feel like it kind of dig into the Vela. Yeah, I definitely feel like it has like a deeper hand feel for sure, even if it's not actually.
What would you recommend for someone who hates a Volt?
Ooh.
Yeah. Which one feels better?
Probably the,
or the least Volt-like.
Probably the Vela, for sure. I would say so.
Okay.
Because the Volt to me has like, it's not rounded, obviously it's gyro, but it kind of has that like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a mid, but that round, like, I don't know. There's something about maybe like the dome or the shoulder that has like that feel to it, maybe. Or like the impression.
Yeah,
of
it
one.
Feels fat. Fat.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to say it. Yeah, and you can see it for those visual people, like this Vela is very flat on the top. It has a shoulder, but it's like pretty flat. The Cookie is too, to be fair, but it just has that rounded end or edge.
So that you answered one of my big questions was, you had to play in not great conditions and there that rounded edge, people, you either love it or you hate it. And like when I recommended the Cookie to someone, or they tried a Cookie out of my stock, about a week ago, on a backhand, they hated it. On a forehand, they loved it because it came off so smooth every time. So, rain releases backhand and forehand. How is it feeling on your ability to transfer power into the disc?
I definitely feel like the Vela, I could give it a little bit more in the rain. I didn't feel like it was going to slip. Cookie, this is backhand, and Cookie was fine. It wasn't like I was like, I'm going to lose this, but I did the first couple throws for anybody watching the live. I did grip lock them because I was so concerned about letting them go early. I was like just kind of holding them a little too tight. So like maybe like mentally I wasn't super worried about it, but like physically I definitely was. When I was going to throw, I was definitely holding on to them a little tighter just naturally because it did feel like it wanted to kind of slip out. Forehand is kind of the same way. I know some people like how easy it comes, like a rounded disc may come out of their hand, but I like to almost like painfully shove the disc back into my we'll call it the thumb pit. But I do the power grip as well. So I like it like really shoved back in there. And anything that kind of has that rim, like that rounded rim, it's definitely more comfortable, but I don't feel like I have like the grit that I kind of need pushed all the way back in. It was not ideal conditions for forehand. My forehands looked atrocious today. I definitely got probably more wobble out of the Cookie than I did the Vela. If I'm trying to like be as rational as possible, because I know like it was really like raining, but I definitely had more wobble out of the cookie because I just didn't feel like I had it as tight, I don't think, in my hand. I definitely didn't want to throw it as hard on forehand. Forehand's where I was like a little scared, especially because I had that old van that just sits there, and then I had another like box truck that was parked, so there was like a gap I had to hit today in the rain, so I was not feeling confident with the cookie.
That van's gonna learn.
Yeah, one of these days
it's just gonna catch a stray and that's it. That would be the real question mark, as if it did and just no one ever said anything, like it just still sat there. Yeah. Now Brown, when we first got on, there was a surprise moment for you with both of these discs. Like a big surprise. Talk about that realization with these two.
Yeah, even I would not expect, maybe the Vela a little bit, but just based on how it feels and the plastic it is and like the four glide, like it says like this is going to be a little more stable than you think it's going to be. I would not expect to be able to flip up either one of these discs. And even in the rain, like when I got them dry enough and I was like trying to like put them on a little baby hyzer and really hit them as hard as I could in the rain today, I was able to actually flip up both of these discs, which kind of surprised me. I didn't lose the overstability, but I was able to flip them up. And like particularly the Vela, and I think maybe people feel like I'm leaning toward the Vela or like I liked it better. Not necessarily. I think it like just surprised me the most. And I've never thrown it, and I've never thrown any Millennium really. So I think I'm just kind of like, it's just intriguing me how it was flying compared to what I expected it to fly like. But yeah, it would like flip and just like it would push straight. Even when I threw it like hard and like a baby, my normal kind of like flat, which is like a little baby hyzer, would just push straight. Which is kind of funny, but I did feel like I was, even in the rain, getting the rotation, like the appropriate rotation out of them. And same thing with the cookie, like I threw a hard hyzer shot and I really tried to put some heat on it because I knew it was throwing on hyzer, and I flipped it up as well. Even throwing kind of nose up, I was able to flip it up. So that was a big surprise. I kind of expected both of these to maybe like start out straight and have that nice big long hook, kind of like my Evader has. Cause that's what I have that disc for, is like, it's never going to go, it's never going to turn on me. It's not even going to flip up, but if I hit it really hard and flat, it'll have like this big, like horseshoe kind of like flight almost. And that's kind of what I use it for.
Yeah. And Evader is one that's been kind of on my radar as well. Mm-hmm. So, but that's like another step over on stability, right?
Kind of. I would say these kind of maybe start competing with them at the cookie definitely does. I think overall, they seem very similar, but really, I think they're kind of different in my mind, at least how they were acting for me. I know we talk a lot about having like a disc that has more utility for people, not just like a one and done shot type of disc. And that maybe is probably even a little more versatile for your bag with how you're about to chop it down and like kind of get rid of a lot of the noise. For me, the cookie was, I could throw it on some Annie, it would flex and come back. I could even, but it wasn't so overstable that I couldn't flip it up, obviously, which was kind of interesting. And then it might be a good forehand disc, not in the rain. I just feel like I just wasn't very confident in it, but it was like a very reliably, it starts stretching in the overstable territory, right? It's like, it is overstable, but like it starts to creep over in those overstable slots, but not quite there. It's not so overstable that you can't throw it far. The Vela, what I liked about it, I expected to not go very far because of the four glide and it's kind of flat. And I was like, man, maybe this is going to be like really overstable. But what was interesting about them is they just kind of went really straight for a long time and then had more of a harsh fade. And also, if I gave it Annie, it liked it. Like, it wanted to keep going, but it wouldn't, like, burn over. I burned over one, but I threw it like that, like an idiot, because I almost fell. Behind the scenes, I almost fell. It was wet, okay? But when I gave it, like, a little bit of Annie, like, it kind of liked it and wanted to take it, and it, like, had this nice pan, and it started coming back. Like, I wasn't throwing it far enough today in the rain to see it come back, or watch the full flight, but it was coming back at the end before it would crash out. So I didn't really expect that disc to do that. So that's kind of an interesting like utility to that disc as well. And then on hyzer, I could pump it on hyzer and it would flip up and go straight and still have a finish. And it consistently, I would say, went farther than the cookie more, to be honest with today. So I think with a little practice, and I said it in the live, like with a little practice, I think both of these discs could live in the same bag. It's just like they are a little bit different. They would definitely clash, pun intended, if you were like just working them in. But yeah, I was really surprised. I know that was maybe a little all over the place, but it was like a very interesting like field work session today, because there wasn't like a clear winner per se, or like a clear, hey, this is the solution.
Is there one that you would trust more into a headwind?
Cookie. For me. Okay. Robbie, does that match what you would think? Or would you expect the Vela to be more overstable?
Yeah, I think it just depends. Like, it depends on how well you're hitting it. I think you've nailed a lot of it in terms of, like, when you hit the Vela well, it is really straight. Like for me out of the gate, it definitely was a straight flyer. I felt like, okay, I can see what he's going for. And since it was designed to be Calvin's beat in eagle, like,
yeah,
that makes sense. I would be curious, because once again, we're looking at it as it's Calvin's straight eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So for Calvin, it needed to be straight. But yeah, Calvin throws 600 feet.
Correct.
So that's almost twice as far as any of us throw in this call.
Mm-hmm.
So while I do think that it will have some hook, I could see the Vela in depending on how Justin can throw it, I could see it clashing with the Crave.
Right.
I do think it will have more hook than your Crave does.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because a Crave, I can flip up and make turn, to be fair, just off the shelf.
Right. Yeah, you know, like the way I described that, like the full weight one Neutron that I've got, it's fresh still, but it definitely, it almost flies similar to what you're describing. So, interesting, yeah. Man.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Speeds are, like, there's kind of that weird where it's like, we can almost overpower seven speeds, like with mortal arms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
kind of thing where they can all start flying kind of similar very quickly.
Yeah, I was telling someone the other day, I feel like seven, eight, and even maybe some nine speed, I feel like I'm finally getting those up to the speed and seeing more like of the intended flight out of like more discs in that area, which probably makes more sense. But yeah, what I think is maybe the cookie, and I just wonder if like the cookie is going to kind of bump the Crave just for the sole reason of you can kind of like fill a wider gap, I guess, with the cookie. You can like throw a little ante on it. You can throw it straight and have a little bit more overstable. So you really aren't doing like Crave, cookie, and then one other disc. Maybe you're doing the cookie kind of lives there for you. Maybe you find something more like overstable, like way more overstable. Maybe right. You go that route. I don't know, Robbie. I don't know what your thoughts are. But that's kind of where I'm leaning.
Yeah. If the nice thing is that if you're in theory going to pull the insanities out and the fireball out, like if you're going to pull out so many discs for a time, it's going to require just like some trial and error. Mm-hmm. And your bag's going to be flopping around anyways, because you're going to need discs in there to fill the six that you pulled out. So I don't know that it, either way we're recommending that I think, oh yeah, like you need to preemptively pull the Crave in the place of these. I think definitely throw the new ones more than you throw, because you know at this point, even though it's somewhat new, like you know what that Crave does. And then if you throw a shot and you're like, oh, that was really sick, could I get the Crave to do the same thing? Then throw the Crave as well. Yeah, let player B show up. Because honestly, if I'm testing discs, I like to let whatever I think the disc should do. Like if I'm fresh in the round, I let the disc that I know go first. so that player B, the benefit goes to the new one. So I can know like, oh, I didn't hit that one well.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you hit this one well to see like what a good throw is going to be. But then halfway through the round, I always flip to make sure that the new disc is going first to get a realistic expectation of how that disc is going to fly for me on a regular basis. So I think it's just a lot of like filling them out and seeing where they slot in, because like we said, like Brad was throwing them in the rain. So a belief is that you weren't hitting them as well as you could.
I would say that's a very safe bet.
But it is still very possible that like with the depth of the Vela, that while it doesn't seem like you were getting it because you were a little more focused on holding on to it because of the rain, mm-hmm. that you were getting more snap than you're giving yourself credit for as well by Fair. Making subtle adjustments. So it's just for those who don't play in the rain very often, we watched at a local event where none of us, like 98% of the people playing, do not play in the rain. And there was like four of us that play tournaments a lot. So we were used to the rain and we were way less hamstringed than most folks during that event. And that's how it shined, mm-hmm. was the ones who play in the rain. Yeah. They succeeded.
I think it was Bo that said, yeah, my game literally doesn't change. I play it the same. Yeah.
So like he's feeling dialed there. So I would say sorting it out. So Brad, it's to you, you're leaning cookie as the recommendation.
I think so. I think it's going to be a longer pyro for you.
Hmm.
That's where I think this is going to land, because you throw more hyzer than I do too. So I'm confident saying it's going to be a longer pyro for you.
Yeah. So Justin, we'll get these in the mail to you, brother. And maybe have you on a little bit. We're trying to plan something big for episode 100. So if we get these in the mail, hopefully we can have you back for popping in for episode 100.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Awesome, man. Well, appreciate you
coming on, Justin.
Yeah.
Dude, I throw in the cookie in the rain, brave man, braver than I.
Yeah. Hey, it was still fun. And we had like twice as many live people in the live this week. And it was a lot of fun. I made the time go by. I didn't notice the rain a ton. So thank you all for that. Make sure you join the In the Bag Instagram. I try to go live every week there for these field tests. So it's been a lot of fun. Make sure the link's in the description. So make sure you go follow us there.
Yeah. At In the Bag Pod, definitely check it out. I think a great episode. I think we talked about some like theories and molds and very mm-hmm. popular molds and very popular overlaps,
right?
That a lot of folks are probably very much in the heat of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was fun getting to throw some Millennium. We're loving carrying that. We're trying to get some people introduced to it as well in the store and online, and great stuff. I mean, really, it's not something I'd ever thrown unless we had it, right? But it's always fun. There's so many different brands and stuff out there that there's a lot of good molds and a lot of things get overlooked. Like this, I was telling Robbie, this Vela might have put my FD in danger at one point, or FD may have never made it in, because I mean, I think there's some like definitely overlap, but great disc.
Yeah. Well, speaking of great disc, Brad, what's new in the warehouse?
All right. We are working tirelessly to get all of our MVP restock up. We have a bunch of different molds going up there. I think a lot of Streamline went up this week. Thought Space, we have a full Thought Space restock. We have the Ursus from Terminal Velocity. We have a couple mint discs that went up. Mustang, Freetail, I believe. Just some different stamps. You know how they're always doing their unique stamps. And another big thing, obviously, is our Discraft Tour Series. The pre-orders went up. The pre-orders are still live. By the time you're listening to this, they may be like actually in the warehouse. Mm. So if you pre-order those, thank you. Those will be shipping out. But excited to get our hands on all of that as well. But big thing is we don't have a ton, but we have some in the bag custom stamped discs. Make sure you check those out. They're FDs and Origins. The boys on Grip Locked have some Innova, and Tour Life has Discraft. So make sure you check out all your favorite podcasts and their custom stamp discs. We also have In the Bag Minis now, and Grip Locked Minis and Tour Life Minis. And also your boy Dennis on minis as well. So make sure you're checking out those. We have some new In the Bag merch that went up. So make sure we have an episode 56 shirt. If we're still stuck there, if you want to be stuck there with us, make sure you pick one up. Right. Ours will be in here very soon. I'm very excited about it.
Stuck makes it sound like a bad thing.
No,
I'm happy to be chilling here.
Hey, are you ever, I mean, you could be stuck. You could be stuck anywhere. Yeah. And you know, that's okay. That's okay. Stuck is relative, I suppose.
I love it. Well, sounds like some definite awesome things. Make sure you head to foundationdisc.com. You're going to find that new disc. You're going to be like, wow, this is incredible. It grows well in the rain. It goes well when it's dry. And you know if it's good.
Keep in the bag. We'll see you all next week.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.